Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, welcome into the Advent season. This season, we're going to be taking a look at a special message. It's called Stop, Look, Listen. Stop, Look, Listen. With passion, we teach this message to our children. I'm doing it already right now with our little guy. Stop, look, and listen. That's actually a message for Christians as they enter into the Advent season. So over the next 3 weeks, we're just going to unpack a very simple phrase there and present it because it's the phrase that's going to really prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of Jesus on Christmas Day. So today we start with stop. Now to get there, I want to talk about our text here from Isaiah. First, you know, I was told by a friend that the world would be a better place if it lived with a little more healthy fear, just a little bit of fear, not a big amount of fear, but a little bit of healthy fear. About 150 years ago, the United States government put together a commission to put some regulations on the lighthouses up on the east coast and west coast of the country. And when the country put together this commission, one of the main things that it was to do was to inspect all of these lighthouses. And as soon as that commission came together, the innkeepers of those lighthouses had that little bitty bit of fear, because they knew that inspections were coming their way. Now, those inspections were thorough. The grounds were looked at, whether they were maintained, but the facility also was looked at, whether there was fresh paint and whether it looked good, whether it functioned well, and even the inspectors themselves, the innkeepers themselves were inspected from head to toe to make sure that they were alert and fit for their position. Now, something interesting happened. Those innkeepers developed a network so that they could tell the next lighthouse innkeeper when the inspector was coming their way. And as a result, as you can well imagine, that healthy little bit of fear did something that was good. Those lighthouses were spick and span clean, and those innkeepers were ready for the inspectors that were coming their way. You see, in that case, in that instance, it was healthy to live with just a little bitty, healthy bit of fear. Now, I share that with you this morning because I think it's a good illustration for kind of the messages that we hear from some of God's Old Testament prophets. These are parts of the Bible that can be hard for us to understand. And when we read the words, we can come out thinking, wow, that was kind of harsh. But you see, really what these prophets are doing is they're giving a little bit of healthy fear in our lives. And we hear it from our passage here this morning. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 that Haley read just a few moments ago. Isaiah says this, "Remove your evil deeds from before my face. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good." Isaiah was giving a little bit of healthy fear into the lives of God's people. But what were they doing that was so offensive? Why was Isaiah speaking into this moment? Well, it's in chapter 2 that we read some of those evil deeds that were happening with God's people. You see, they were taking pieces of wood, like a tree, for example, and they were carving images out of those trees, and then they were bowing down and worshiping those images. It would be like taking a tree and just worshiping it. How strange is that? Now, that was very offensive for three reasons. Number one, that grave image that these people were worshiping could absolutely do nothing to help them. It was just an inanimate object right in front of them. Secondly, it was a slap in the face to the living and active God who was there with them. Thirdly, it didn't really recognize the active work that God was doing on behalf of them in that moment, in that time. So Isaiah comes and he gives a little bit of healthy fear and says these words, "Remove your evil deeds from before my face. Cease," that's our word today, cease, stop. "Stop doing evil, learn to do good." Stop. That's a part of the message. Now you might be thinking, Pastor, this message about objects that are carved and put together and then worshiped, that I guess that's a message for 8 centuries before Jesus, but how does that really fit today in 2020 in what we are experiencing in these times? Now I get you. Stay with me for a second. Now you got to admit that we are very busy in these days. A study was done just a few years ago, probably 3 or 4, well, maybe a little bit longer, 5 to 6 years ago, that polled Christians about why they were not so connected to God and how they could improve. The study polled 20,000 Christians, not 20,000 non-Christians, this is 20,000 Christians, about why they were struggling in their relationship and connection with God. The results? 60% of those Christians said that they were too busy. 60% said they were too busy to connect with God or maintain or develop a relationship with God. Now I ask, busy doing what? The survey didn't really say anything about that, but I can imagine what that is. Busy doing things created by hands, like screens. Now, what would we do without screens? You're tuning in on a screen. They help us. They're important for us. But what would we do without screens in this day and age? The truth is that screens would probably be, the screen that you're looking at is probably going to be obsolete in a year. You're going to have to find a whole new screen that you're going to have to look at it and further technology. But here's the point. What does it say when our joy and our sadness, our happiness, and our despair is determined by an object created by human hands? You see, perhaps we are very much like God's people, worshiping and giving our hearts and our emotions to something that's created by man or woman. Very much so, Isaiah's words of stopping and thinking of what we give our greatest emotions to is important for us to consider. Now, as we think about busyness, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I think what happens when we're busy is that we think the antidote to fix that is to become even busier. Have you ever thought about it that way? By becoming busier, then we don't think about everything else in life. It just goes away. But the challenge is that the busier that we get, the more our life can fall apart. And we don't recognize the God who's working for us. Frederick Buechner was a pastor in the United States, and he had a father who died. And when people asked this pastor how his father died, he simply gave this explanation. He died of heart problems. That's only partial truth. Frederick Buechner's dad was born to a prominent family that had high expectations for him. He was ahead of all the other children in his grade school. And then when he went to university in the 1920s, 1930s, right around that time frame, he excelled and was far above his peers. Then he took a job, he married and had a family. But you see, it was at that point that the Great Depression hit in this country. And when it did, Frederick Buechner's dad had no way to achieve like he had done before, had no way to be as busy as he once was before. And it brought him to great despair. And early on a morning, because he really didn't know how to function in that kind of world, he went down into the garage of the family, shut the garage door, turned on the car, put his hands in his face, and he ended his life. Now, Frederick Buechner said his dad died of heart problems. But you see, what he really died was, he really didn't know how to function in a world in which he couldn't be busy. And he really didn't know how to stop and see how the true God was working on his behalf to bring salvation and goodness into his life. Now, my dear friends, the reality of it is part of the message that Isaiah is sharing here in Isaiah chapter 1 is to stop. But the other part of the message that Isaiah is sharing today for us is that we most definitely do have a God who is working on our behalf. And that's why it's good to stop, because we can see that. And he shares it with those words in verse 18, though our sins were as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. Isaiah was saying that God will do this and work for this on your behalf. You know what I've noticed with children is that they reach a stage in which they move from sucking on that pacifier to sucking on pretty much anything that they can find for their hands to tinker with. Some of those things that they find to tinker with are markers. Boy, have we realized how much kids love markers in our family. Probably the greatest hope any parent has is that the marker that they choose is not a drastic color that really goes against the color of the furniture in the living room. Now, we lost out on that hope with our second child, with Claire, when she got a hold of a marker, and in a moment of separation, got to the dining room chairs and really put a bunch of zigzags with a dark blue color on our dining room nice chairs that we cherished and loved. The only consolation in all of this was when the inspectors arrived, Mom and Dad, the only consolation was that it wasn't the worst color, which would have been black, but it was close. It was a blue color. And you see, Mom and Dad, we inspected and we went to work to find a solution to fix that mess and that color that had been given to that nice furniture. And we weren't really able to fix the problem. We worked hard, but we couldn't fix the problem. As I wrote this message, I looked down and saw the zigzags on that dining room chair. They're still there to this day and will be for a long, long time. What a stain. What Isaiah is sharing with us in verse 18 is this. Though our sins were as scarlet, they will be made as white as snow. Now, in Isaiah's day, the color marker that was the worst one, the one that would stand out more than any other, was that color marker, scarlet. It was intense. It was the color that just marked something really wrong had happened. In some ways, if you read the Bible, that color scarlet symbolizes the worst destructive act that a person could do, which is to murder another person. Still to this day, we say, boy, that person has blood on their hands. Well, in Isaiah's day, they might have said that person has scarlet on their hands. That color showed an obscene act had been done. And what Isaiah was saying to these people was that their God would not just inspect them, but he would go to work and make that act that had stained their life as clean and as white as snow. My friends, this is a message for you to hear. No matter how big a stain that you've made in your life, no matter how much that sticks out, and no matter how much you think that identifies you, who you are, and how you've lived your life, your God can go to work and make it as white as snow. And as we think about the days leading up to Christmas and all the things that we must do, let us not forget that what Jesus means is that through his work and his sacrifice on the cross, we are made pure and white. Our God is living and active and works. 2,800 years ago when Isaiah came, also our God is active and working now in our lives. Come to him and he'll work and he'll change that spot on you to his white. He's not just an inspector. He's also one who works on your behalf to make you clean and pure. My friends, what a mistake it would be in the season of Advent if we just dedicated ourselves to worshiping created images by the hands of men and women. That would be a mistake. What a mistake it would be if we just, in all our despair and troubles, we just made ourselves busier to distract ourselves. The best thing we can do is to listen to Isaiah. Stop. Stop. And see that we have a God that will work for us. What a great message it was for Isaiah to share this message with these people 800 years before Jesus. He was sharing that they should live with a healthy bit of fear, just a little bit of fear. That was good for them. But he was also sharing that they should live with a great bit of confidence that God would work for them. May that also be said for us. As another person once said, we are sinners, and we're even sinners to a degree that we never could have imagined, even worse than what you and I could imagine. But here's the other side of the story. We are saints and dearly loved by God to a level that we'd never imagine. Let's move forward in Advent. Let's stop. Let's cease. Let's live with a healthy bit of fear. But also let's live with great confidence, for our God works for us. Amen.